Welcome back to The Whip Around, your weekly look at news and current events, where nothing is safe and nothing is sacred. Be warned, there will be pop culture spoilers, low culture language, and potentially some cultural insensitivities. With your hosts, Jill Yapsuga.
Having my moment with my mac and cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing and I feel fabulous, so do it.
Dr. Phil LaPorta.
No, this guy represents death and you're going to die. Like, that should happen. It's funny you say spewage. It's space toilets.
Oh! And Sean Hayes.
I'm participating in the currency exchange of your attention for my
right,
compliment.
As opposed
to... I'm the baloney man for Halloween. You just can't see it.
Have too much fun with the whip around.
Behold, the whip around is here. It's coughing, it's crunching, it's running. It's amazing. It's all kinds of fun in a nonverbal kind of way. Jill is here.
What's up?
How is every little thing?
Oh my gosh, I have such a fun story. But I want to at least introduce who else
I know,
in the room.
I know you're excited, but Jill and I are not alone down here. Literally in the space, in the room, helping warm the space. Is our friend, mi familia, un poco, and local man about town, artist, entrepreneur, savvy beard wearer, and director of the Bethlehem House Art Gallery, is Ward Van Hout.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
This has been a lot of fun already, so we're happy
yeah.
to have you.
Yeah. Yeah,
thanks.
We're delighted to have you.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to it. I'm a fan of the show. I listen to the show actually while I paint, while I art make.
See?
I listen to the show.
Auto synergy.
Yep.
Synergy in the first, what, 2-3 minutes.
So yeah, I'm thrilled to be here.
Ward is rocking his like signature style. It is yeah. it is a bohemian, I don't want to say rhapsody because that's not what it's all right. about, but it is. It's a bohemian rhapsodic.
Right.
Ensemble.
Yeah, I mean, that's a musical art, and I'm a visual artist.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but literally you are. But you know what? Queen has stolen my thunder.
Right, sure.
Because it is rhapsodic, and you look bohemian.
I keep warm in the winter around the face area.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. In fact, I can tell you, listeners, Ward is also bringing, I'm going to get a fourth dimension here, Ward is bringing the beard oil today, too.
Oh,
we were
yeah,
greeted
the
with
yeah.
the scent of patchouli.
Mm-hmm. The scent of art.
Yeah, yeah, man. He's bringing the whole yeah. gamut of sensory experiences.
The pleasant aroma is half the point.
To
quote,
that's
oh, brother,
correct.
Where art thou?
Yeah, man.
And also, you know, keeps the long beard moisturized and nice and not scratchy. And
no,
yeah,
it's a long
beard.
And if you're going to rock a long beard, it must be well maintained.
I can't.
It's
do
the
that.
Same
and
with
yours,
long hair. Like your
good.
Hair, if you can have long hair, you can have long beard.
No,
it's got to be. I mean, one
no,
can
I cannot.
Have long hair and one can have long beard, but it's got to be
taken
well groomed.
Yes.
So
yes.
Yeah.
So
the topic of our conversation
beard lover side
beard.
Of the table over
that's
here.
Right. That's right. For the one of us who does not have a beard, does have a story. I want to get to that in a second. Mm-hmm. But what we're able to do here today is really, and you're going to see how this syncs up with the news. You're gonna not see. That's a lie. You're gonna
mentally
hear it.
See. You're gonna mentally see.
And if you close your eyes, maybe you'll even smell it. How Ward is going to give us an extra dynamic, an extra level of exploration and understanding of something that is riding underneath part of a major news story, and you'll witness this, and we're all going to learn and grow. It's going to be fantastico. So we appreciate you being here, Ward, to add a lot of depth to what we're going to be talking about today. Because frankly, Jill and I would be in over our heads.
Absolutely.
with some of the places we would like to go with fine art with this conversation.
Well, I hope I don't disappoint.
Ah, Jesus. I really hope you don't as well, because, you know, then you're cool sticking around here while we turn to Jill, because Jill's been enthusiastic about something.
Yes.
And then I have a little something that's been gnawing on my mind, grapes, and then we'll jump in the shallow end a little bit to end Act 1.
Sounds good.
So Thursday night, this past Thursday night, I was laying on my couch falling asleep like I do every night, because I take my pillow to my couch when I watch TV and inevitably
very
fall asleep for like 2 hours.
Cosmopolitan.
Yeah. It's really classy.
Can you at least call it like a chaise or something?
It's a couch. It's not fancy. So.
Love seat? Full couch?
It's a full couch. It's a full couch. It has to fit my whole body so that when I fall asleep. It is not. That one is not. I do have another. Okay. I do have another chair that is tufted.
How tall are you? You're
I'm 5'9".
You're no.
So it has to. I'm not
teeny,
a slouch.
Tiny elf.
Right. So I need this space. My point being, fell asleep, woke up, and I'm thinking, what? Wait, what is that? Oh my God! There's something flying in my living room.
Jeez,
oh,
this house.
Oh, it's a bat. There is a bat
really
flying around my living room. I have my pillow and I'm like trying to like corral it towards the front door and also realizing my alarm is set. I don't know.
Are you screaming at this point? Are you vocalizing?
I'm legitimately,
are you frozen?
I'm legitimately screaming like this. Ah! As I'm like each time I'm trying to corral it, that's what's being punctuated by my
about what
screams.
Time is this happening?
This is at about like 9:50 p.m. So not super super late, but
no,
I mean a little bit late.
Spinster sleep o'clock,
right? And so it was flying in circles around my room, and then it finally landed on my wood molding on the first landing to the steps going upstairs. So it's on the, it's close to the ceiling.
Okay.
And I'm looking at it, I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I didn't want to go upstairs to try and get like a sheet because I feel like that's something people do. And so I went and got like, so turn the alarm off and I'm standing there and I'm going, I don't know what to do. But I remember the woman who lived there before me, I was told that she had a bat in her bedroom at some point. Like it flew in and they had to get it out. So I thought maybe this is a common occurrence on this street. So who do I call at 10 of 10?
What hero do I call at night to deal with the bat?
So I called Mr. Phil Laporta.
Dr. Phil Laporta. Who is not, I don't think, a doctor of zoology, but a doctor of bats, right?
So I called him and he's like, hey, what's up? I'm like, hello. I have a bat in my house. How do I get rid of it? I don't know what to do.
Doctor.
And I hear Caroline in the background going, you need like a Tupperware container or cardboard box, and then you can put it over it, and then, you know,
she
almost
has,
like what you would
I
do.
I believe that while Phil is more specialized, Caroline, our webmistress as well, she tends to have more just practical answers
yes.
to any of these problems.
Right.
She probably had the right bat Tupperware for
right.
you.
Absolutely.
This is not one of the methods I've used in my bat experience,
well,
which I'll tell you about when you're finished with your
well,
story.
So,
I have a feeling this is a little
I
more
thought,
brutal.
Well, so I thought... Okay, I'm like, okay, I don't know if I have anything. And then Phil said those magic words of, do you want me to come over?
Oh.
Yes. Yes, I would. So Phil comes down the street. He has on giant mittens.
Not all heroes wear capes.
That's right.
Some wear mittens.
That's right.
And so
mittens and lab coats.
He used the mittens. First off.
Now, these like oven mitts?
No, these are like, he has like legit mittens.
He's like Norman Rockwell snowball mittens.
Yes, yes. Okay. Very thick, very padded. So, first off, he goes, it took him forever. First, he was like, you know, you just got to do this. I'm like, okay, well, like, I didn't know what to do. And then he's standing there stalling. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, it's so easy, right? Yeah, it's not easy. He's like, come on, Phil. Just got to do this. And he's like buttoning up his, pulling his shirt up over his,
the
face.
The protective collar.
Right.
Against the bat going for
right.
the throat in case it's Dracula.
You don't know if they do, obviously.
I'm pretty sure Bethlehem and Allentown aren't riddled with vampire bats.
Right.
I mean, they think they mostly eat insects.
I think
but
so.
But he got an insect on your
right.
neck, maybe.
Maybe. And but. Jill has had problems with bites
right.
in the house.
Right.
So this could have snowballed.
Right.
Agreed.
Right.
Okay.
Well, so me being me, I have my phone out, and I'm trying to get video of Phil doing this. And he looks over at me, and he's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm
being
just
a millennial.
Right. Like, I'm trying to, I live my life.
This is my
in
how
the public.
I experience
I'm like,
life.
I'm trying to, I was like, I was just going to record it. But my phone was like, I dropped my phone in the haste of trying to, like, figure out something before he came over for the bat. And so my phone wasn't recording. So I didn't get it, unfortunately.
Oh, are you
I know.
Serious?
No, seriously. I had to like restart my phone later because it wasn't working.
Yeah, this could all be lies.
He took the bat, though.
I want to see the mittens.
With his mittens, he covered it on both sides, and then moved it outside. It was a two-person job because I had to open up both the front doors, took it outside, and it did fly away. Thankfully, I'm pulling up. I did take as best a photo as I could of the bat because it was hard. And so it's going to be difficult to see. But the thing that looks like a frog is a bat.
That's a bat.
On my molding. A big thank you to it's Phil. It's still a mystery as to how this thing got into my house because nothing was open. I was home all day Thursday.
Can I tell you about that?
I feel like this might be chapter one of the bat saga.
Oh, it better not
be. Bat saga here.
Bats can collapse their bodies down to almost nothing.
Well, they're rodents.
They're like mice.
So if you have the smallest little crack, they can get in.
Right, but I don't know why it would want to get in is my point.
Warm. It's warm.
You have insects.
It's haunted.
They don't live by themselves, so I don't know why I would just get one.
Basement
and not
saunas
several.
And all kinds of weird
do
architectural problems.
Yes, but it's closed off.
To bats?
No.
Is it like a no bats allowed
sign? I put up a sign.
Right. No, but it's a 3-story house, so I don't know how it got.
Nothing
got,
from
why
the
would
order.
Come down to the first
Chiroptera.
Floor. Do you know what I mean?
Permitted.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. It happens a lot.
So now I know for next time.
So is Phil your Batman?
Ooh. Phil
he is a male.
Phil said we are
who
now
came over.
What did he say? Bat,
he's a Batman.
Batsy twosies. Like Batsy buddies.
No, that's
now.
Guano. That is Guano. Right. Batsy twosies.
Right.
Are you the Guano twins?
Yes.
Oh, listeners.
What?
The Guano twins.
So big thank you to Phil and to Caroline and that was very nice. And thank goodness for friends and neighbors.
Again, I think there will be more of that. May I transition
please
a little bit? This is well below the interest and integrity level of what you guys have shared. But I have a question. And that question is, why did apple juice never get the appellation AJ? It sort of occurred to me, I think that apple juice is the sort of, it's unsung. I think that is an unsung juice.
For what, crap in your pants?
That's where I was going.
That's for two-year-olds. That's
right.
That's a
human body thing.
What are you talking about?
Humans, if you have too much apple juice, the sugar in it, your body has trouble processing it.
But there's sugar in orange juice.
It's a different type of sugar.
Nobody can drink too much orange juice. It's hard. It's so acidic. You're like,
and here's where I was going with this is I feel like apple juice has not been, aside from like hard cider, and I'm talking juice, of course.
Right.
Apple juice has not been adequately folded into an alcoholic beverage. And I don't know, is that because it can't? Because I know there's apple flavored, you know, there's like apple pucker and whatever.
Yeah, but why couldn't you put a little bit of apple juice in bourbon?
Well, that's what I would like to know.
I've done that with apple cider. Not hard cider.
I'm talking juice.
Well, yeah, but
juice.
Yeah,
cider, but I get it. Cider can be spiked and, you know, right. But what I want to know, and I'm opening it up to the listeners and anybody else who can say, you know, do this. You try spiking blah, blah, blah. You know, what mixes with apple juice? Why
Goldschlager.
Oh, my God. No, just because
no,
of okay.
Cinnamon.
You're being serious.
I am being serious.
Goldschlager and apple juice.
Why wouldn't it taste good?
I don't know, but
it's cinnamon and apples.
I mean, that would be way too sweet for my palate.
Add some vodka.
That doesn't mean that it wouldn't be good
to
somebody.
Oh, I'm a girl drink drunk.
Right.
Oh, I know. I've drank with you for years. Drinked. Yeah. I've had drinks with you for years.
Right.
As in tonight.
I.
But why, by the way, that aside, right. How come OJ, orange juice, OJ. Apple juice never made the jump to AJ.
Well, with orange juice, you know that it's got a high level of vitamin C. What's apple juice's thing?
It's great.
Right. What about grape juice? Grape juice is popular.
Yeah, but it's hard to say
GJ.
That's weird.
Or if you go grape drink, you don't call it GD.
Yeah, that's not good.
Can I get some of that GD?
Plus, if anything is blank drink, it's like, get away from there. And why are you not calling it by a color?
Right.
But AJ, it's right there. Boom, bang.
And
it's
like,
so
you know, it's relatable because
AJ.
Like, some of my best friends are named AJ.
Yeah,
why don't like anybody named AJ that I
why
know.
Why don't you start
me.
The trend?
And that's where I'm leading to. From now on, don't, if you're being familiar with me, don't refer to it as apple juice.
Okay.
AJ.
Yeah.
From now on.
Right.
AJ. You want some AJ?
Or as
no, I'll crap my pants.
Nature's laxative. That's right.
Right. Which I really don't understand that because orange juice, again, is any fruit juice. Cranberry juice.
No, there's a
CJ?
Specific.
Hold on a second. Why isn't that CJ? That's enormously popular. Yeah. Why the fuck does OJ get the special little abbreviation?
It's the most popular.
I guess.
It's the most popular.
I guess, but PB&J, how come they get peanut butter as PB?
Yeah, but you only use PB when you're saying PB&J.
But still, it gets a little abbreviation.
I'm never like, oh, I can't wait to eat a PB cup.
I think you should.
Do you think it has anything to do with the celebrity football player?
I think, if anything, that has hurt the appellation of OJ. Right?
Yeah, I get
think
those two confused all the time.
It's damaging, right? But no, AJ. And now, CJ.
Right.
I told you it was dumber than what you were talking about, but it's on my mind. It's on my grapes.
I think you're going to get
it's on your
quite
apples.
A few.
It's on my AJ.
I think you're going to get
core.
Quite a few recipes.
I hope so.
Drink recipes. Yeah.
Not cranberry, just to be clear out there. I know you can pretty much mix anything with cranberry juice. But what, which is what, a Cape Codder with vodka, I think, right? Even though you might as well just call it like a vodka cranberry. Yeah. But anyway, apple juice. Apple juice. Apple juice is where it's at. Apple juice. Apple juice.
It's not going to appear. All right.
Are you seeking sponsorship from Apple Juice?
I'd accept it, but
Mott's.
Can I be your AJ?
Want some of that Mott's money.
Yeah, man. Some of that Mott's. Give me that Mott's, those Mott's bucks. Yeah. Okay. Now that we have lowered the intellectual bar, let's bring it back up.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to ask Ward some questions. I'm sure Jill would too. Mm-hmm. Again, we're lucky enough to have a director of an art gallery in the room, which we've never been that interesting before. The first thing was to open the door and just, can you just tell us about the gallery, your job at the gallery?
Okay, great.
And
I'd
the
be
name
happy
of the
to.
Gallery again.
Okay. So I'm the director and the curator and founder of Bethlehem House Contemporary Art Gallery.
Damn it!
Bethlehem House Gallery.
Thank you. I thought I missed a whole word. All right.
On the Google search, Bethlehem House Contemporary Art Gallery, on the sign, Bethlehem House Contemporary Art Gallery, when people are talking about it, Bethlehem House Gallery or House Gallery started to sort of
HG.
Yeah.
HG.
Uh-huh. Yep. So we are a contemporary art gallery on Main Street in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, in historic downtown Bethlehem.
Right next
Beautiful.
To the hotel, right? I mean,
Thank
you're
you.
Like...
Yeah, a couple doors up from the hotel. And we feature primarily local and regional artists that work in contemporary styles. We have had a couple international artists, and we have featured some artists from New York and Philadelphia, but our primary goal is to bring in, expose, enlighten people about local art and regional art. So yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, that's what the gallery is.
How long has it been in operation now?
About 3.5 years, just over 3.5 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But your gallery has a really cool layout that I think for people who are like, galleries, they are all the same. Like you go in and there's art on the walls. It's different. Yeah.
Which is
at
the
your place,
point
which
of
is
that,
cool.
That house bit, right?
Yes.
Right. It's not just a fancy little addition
yeah,
or
exactly.
anything.
Our,
can you talk about that whole
yeah. Our
part of
concept
the mission?
Is art in the home. So we present and exhibit art in a furnished home environment. So we have a number of rooms in the gallery, and these rooms are decorated as rooms in your house. You might have a bedroom, you might have a living room, dining room. We've had a kitchen in there, and we rotate them. We do 4 shows a year, and every show we change the interior design along with the art. So we're demonstrating the practical use of contemporary art in home interior design.
By basically saying, because I've been in the gallery a number of times, and this is not a like the Dietz is from Beetlejuice. This is not a high art house that is very conceptual.
Right.
This is like, it could be your home. It is a cozy place.
Yeah.
It's
In fact, we've had guests that have asked either myself or the co-director of the gallery, Kate Hughes, have asked us individually if we lived there. Oh, is this your house?
They're also
has a cash register.
It's also conveniently located near many alcohol serving locales.
Right.
True.
It is possible that
location,
was
location, location, location.
Can I lay down in here? Now, as far as a director, is it director? Is it artistic director, first of all, the actual title?
Yeah, I mean, the way that it breaks down between Kate and I, Kate is the, she's the co-director, I'm the director curator. Kate handles a lot of the business and customer service aspects of it, and I handle the artistic direction. So I handle the curation, I handle the exhibit design, I handpick the artists and the art that goes into the show, which is part of the curatorial responsibility, and I decide where everything goes and how it looks in the end.
So if they don't like what they're seeing or where it's hanging. Mm-hmm.
They come to me.
That's you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you give us some idea? You, like other guests we've had, which I'm actually kind of proud of, your path is not, I grew up in an art house or whatever.
Yeah.
My parents are poets and artists. And I went to an art school. And you've taken a number of avenues that have led you to this place.
Although, can I interject real quick?
Yeah.
I'm not,
hey, whatever, right?
But with a name like Ward Van
Hout,
mm-hmm. were you like, I have to, though, go into creative stuff or like finance?
Well, I knew people were going to want to see my name.
Right.
That's true.
I knew that much.
Or like Belgian chocolates.
Right,
or something.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I've had people ask me if that was my real name. And then I say, I got it for my birthday.
It's like the most prestigious name we've ever had on the show.
No, thanks.
I love it so much.
Okay, so...
WVH.
Yeah, yeah, because it is
WVH. WVH.
It's two words, that last name.
Yeah, man. I'm abbreviating ET today. Everything. Mm.
Okay.
What was your question?
I don't know. Ask her.
What route did you take to get where
yes,
you are?
Yes, thank you. My dad was an officer in the Marine Corps, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom, but... One of her hobbies was taking art classes, painting classes, charcoal classes, and she would do this. And I remember at times as a little kid, like maybe a sick day or school wasn't happening or something, she would bring me along into these classes and throw some crayons and a piece of paper on the ground, and I would color while she was – so that's early exposure stuff, right? And a lot of artists I know are like, well, I've been drawing since I could pick up a crayon. That's true. I've been drawing since I could pick up a crayon.
Drawing since my mother threw a crayon
at me. So it was always sort of an important part of my recreation time, you know, making art, making drawings, making things out of clay, whatever I can get my hands on. But as far as like a career path goes, it's not something that I strongly considered when looking at career paths. I was thinking, you know, maybe when I go to college, maybe I'll take an art class or two, but it wasn't what I was. So I decided to go to film school because that was a creative art that I knew absolutely nothing about.
Okay.
Even when I went to film school, all my like classmates were like, "Oh man, like Mean Streets, the best movie ever." It's like, I've never seen Mean Streets, and like all these like iconic movies that,
you're
that
like, no,
film school kids
right
are geeking
now.
About. I was just learning at the time. So
I have not seen Mean Streets.
I have not either.
Yeah.
What's bad is that Ward and I share an alma mater and share an alma mater, the film program. But
I'm not a film historian.
Okay.
Missed that one.
Yeah.
Neither is Jill.
My favorite movie is Speed.
There you go.
So I went to DeSales University in their inaugural class. Yeah. You got a lot of them around here.
Mm-hmm.
In their inaugural class of their television and film program.
Trailblazer.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So
Michael Tylo.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, he gave me my scholarship. And then I lost it to somebody else.
Been there.
So I went there wanting to be a cinematographer. It was another visual art. I could learn that skill, that trade. I felt like it was symbiotic with my already visual art mentality. So I thought that would be cool. So in school, I tried to get on camera projects, tried to do as much with camera as I could. And somewhere along the way, I either lost interest because it was a lot of math or just proved that I wasn't really that great at it. And I sort of remember the turning point from getting away from cinematography was a friend of mine was doing a project and said, I want you to be part of it. I want you to be the head of a department, but I already have Tony. Yeah. I've already got Tony slated to be the cinematographer. So I was like, cool. Just, I want to be in charge of my department. That's
Do you think there's a TV film school class out there that doesn't have at least one Tony?
No, think they're all, yeah.
Right, I'm pretty sure that's not, it's not accredited if there's no Tony.
Yeah, you don't even know if that's a real person.
Right,
so
exactly.
So my friend ended up making me the art director. So I was in charge of the sets and the props. I enjoyed it, and I was pretty good at it without any real exposure to it. So then when I graduated and I was getting my feet wet in the film industry, I followed the art department. And, you know, when I was a production assistant, when I was a PA on set, I'd run and get people coffee. But when I was done getting them coffee, I'd go to the art truck and see if they needed anything.
So that was like, that was the sparks were shooting moment to go this way.
Mm-hmm. So within a year, I was working on art department crews and I worked on commercials in Philadelphia for like 10 to 15 years. I was an illustrator on a show, which also got my sort of drawing out in a creative professional field. So that was fun. And then, you know, life happened and I met my wife and we decided to get married and we intended to have children.
How did you meet her?
Did you draw her?
How did you two?
Well,
was there any really, assistance?
There was a great guy that introduced us.
Oh, correct. Good Lord.
Great guy.
I see where this is going.
SBH.
Yeah. Sean. Sean. Sean.
Spells
I think
it
his
right
name was Sean.
Bet he spells it right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sean introduced me to my wife.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm a happy maker.
Yeah.
You're really humble about it, too, which is great.
And it takes practice, but I am at the top of my humble game. Yeah.
Yep.
So I was working freelance, and that life, my wife and I felt, wasn't ideal for starting
a
young family.
Yeah, freelancing
so, I mean, I was doing very well, but there were months that I didn't work. There were months that I didn't have a day off. Neither of those two situations is great for young family life. So
it's tough.
It so happened that at that
time,
it so happens that at that time, one of my mentors had inherited land in the Pacific Northwest and was moving out there.
What a thing to say for a man with a beard like yours.
Wow.
And he was a prop master art director on commercials, but he also was the resident prop master at Villanova University in their theater graduate program. So he gave me the opportunity to do one of his last two shows, to prop one of his last two shows, and that was sort of like a trial run for me, and then I applied for the job and I got it, and I spent the next 7 years doing technical theater at a university on staff. And
now we're controlling, analyzing, weighing art.
Yeah.
And making it, right? Yeah, but I mean, now you, so by this, plus you are learning how to place things, light things.
Mm-hmm. I've learned a lot of really interesting skills over the years in these jobs that I had.
You're like the Daniel LaRusso of being an art gallery director.
Right,
this
right.
is the sand the floor. Like, I've got to do this prop for this show and light it the right way. Whoop-ah.
Well, it was interesting because you're working for directors. You're helping them create their visions. You're working with designers, helping them create their visions. So and you're working in three dimensions. So you have to – there were skills that I didn't have going into it that I needed to learn to get the job done. And it was great. My time at Villanova was fantastic. So it was a really interesting process. And actually a lot of my design decisions later grew out of that process. A lot of my design decisions for creating the gallery grew out of that process of working with these artists, going to galleries, going to museums, visiting, analyzing what we liked about it, what we didn't like about it. Of course, all of this had to be within the frame of putting on a stage production. That experience at Villanova got me interested in making art. I mean, I was already making art, but in showing and exhibiting art.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So
and now your qualifications are rising,
they kept
rising.
Going up. So then after 7 years at Villanova, we decided to step out and open an art gallery, and that's been my work for the past 3.5 years.
Now, I will say this. We're running quite long with this interview, but let me reveal this to the listeners. We have Ward twice.
Mm.
We actually have Ward coming back in several weeks. So I think we'll probably cap the normal traditional interview process there so that we can still dive into some news. But I will tell you this, we have more questions just about art for Ward. And in fact, if listeners, if you've always wanted to ask about the art world, send in your questions, you know, thewhiparound@gmail.com. We can pass them along to Ward. He will be back because there's so much to talk about with this. But we don't want to lose Ward before we force him to listen to some of the news that we're talking about and pick his brain about some of the implications of some of the biggest scandal news that is out there. So, Ward, if you're willing to stick around, I hope. Jill, if you're willing to remain...
I guess. Yeah, sure.
Happy making. Can I call you JY?
Sure.
I didn't answer. I nodded, forgetting that this is an audio
format. He said yes.
No one can see you.
we're going
to... But yes, I'm happy to stick around for the news.
the visual artist was not thinking in the sound dimension. So yeah, we will be right back. I wish there was all the time in the world to just keep asking Ward about all this stuff. I have many more questions written down. We'll get to some. But don't go far. We've got some scintillating things to talk about. Okay, a little break. Be right back.
Oh, look at Mr. or Mrs. Big Shot over here. Everyone wants a piece of this go-getter. I'm sure you hear it from your boss, your husband, your wife, your kids, your parents. Everyone wants a piece of you. Well, let us join the ranks, Chief. We need your mighty social media muscles to lift us to new listeners. So like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at The Whip Around. Heck, while you're at it, join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you.
Hi, it is The Whip Around back for Act 2. Stormy Daniels. Stormy Daniels, Stormy Daniels, Stormy Daniels, Stormy Daniels. I said it a bunch of times, so now the ice is broken, and we can all relax into the fact that where we are beginning today, beginning, is with the salacious issue of Stormy Daniels and President Trump and 60 Minutes. Because yes, Stormy Daniels did 60 Minutes. For us, this was just last night. For everybody listening, this was on Sunday, whenever the friggin' basketball game was finally over. Millions of viewers tuned in. I don't have the final numbers, but everybody's saying it was millions and millions and millions. But here's the thing. With apologies to
How
Jill.
How dare you.
rather than litigate the politics of that for what will probably be the 10 millionth time for anybody listening, we're going to make use of the Whip Around's charmingly bizarre off-ramp, back-alley attitude here to tack the whole thing in a different direction because, and Jill and Ward, I'm assuming, can back me up on this, everybody who's out there either knows exactly what's going on with the Stormy Daniels, Donald Trump, non-disclosure agreement, hyped up, excited lawyer for her and Sopranos lawyer for him and what that means, campaign finance this and implications that and everyone's entrenched already. We all know, correct?
Yeah.
If one does not, I encourage you to find and vet your sources, of course, a trustworthy news source and check it out for yourself. Washington Post is good for this stuff. New York Times.
InfoWars.
I literally just went to push an ejector seat button that not only doesn't exist, that I've never pretended existed before. I literally was like, eh. For any of the dads and uncles out there, maybe don't go to InfoWars right. This time.
I ask my friend Steve. I'm like, Steve, tell me about this news story. And I just get it all from him secondhand. Figure it's the best way to get it.
That sounds perfectly legit. Totally on the level.
I like how when you said it, your voice dipped too. You were like, this is how I get my news. Yeah. Steve's really reliable.
Friend Steve. Makes a great pasta. Great on the news.
Right.
So anyhow, point being, rather than redo this entire thing and give our spin on it, especially after we did a whole show talking to you about the firings and the number of people, the surprisingly low but important number of people that were fired, and we went through all that this last week, which if you didn't get a chance to listen, check that one out. It's high quality stuff. But again, we're shifting gears here. What we're going to talk about, in a sense, is porn. Good God, y'all.
Yay.
What's it all about? More to the point, actually, I think, and we're going to use this as a launch point. We're actually going from porn off into much more socially acceptable pastures. But always with an eye on this thing, because the resonant power of pornography, and certainly in the current scandal, that is to a large degree what Stormy Daniels represents. She is this odd moment of cultural overlap of where this hidden, we don't really talk about this, but it's a $1 billion industry that everyone has something to say about, proclivities and behaviors, or they're one of the 6 people on earth who have never encountered porn. I'm sure everybody in this room is one of them. But
no,
you know, it's
not,
this, it's
yeah,
this, it's cool. This part where the Venn diagram overlapped a little bit. There was a little bit of overlap between mainstream information, out loud conversations. I mean, people say Stormy Daniels, and other people are like, who? I don't know who that could be.
What's her real name? It's like Stephanie,
Stephanie Clifford.
Yeah, yeah.
Stephanie Clifford. Which I will cop to the fact that I would not have known that until recently. That's some hardcore fan stuff that I'll admit to not being like that. Like,
I didn't even know she existed.
I didn't
person.
Either. I didn't
40-year-old virgin. I knew her from 40-year-old virgin.
Oh, really?
Because she was in that. That was right around the time, by the way, that she was getting with Trump. Allegedly. But that was when she was in the movie, because there was a scene where they try to get this virginal character to watch pornography. Maybe that'll spark something. And he has a dream where he's seeing her. So she has this scene where she's in a dream talking to Steve Carell.
Yeah,
like, put your thing and my thing. So,
oh, wow. That went like right over. I mean, it went in one ear and out the other.
Yeah. Oh, man. Good movie, by the way.
Oh, it's a great movie.
But there was a moment. She is the porn actress in it. So there's, again, it's not her first rodeo. Literally nowhere near her first actual rodeo. And actually, it's not even her first crossover into being sort of more mainstream. This one is enormous. But the idea here, though, Stormy Daniels vis-a-vis porn, it's this kind of taboo. It's a cultural, I'll say violation for lack of a better word, but it's this cultural hot button issue, okay? And again, everything I say now that I'm talking about porn sounds like a double entendre, but maybe one of the most important, most resonant things to come out of the Stormy Daniels issue, at least as far as larger issues than this scandal, is this, I don't know, this in and of itself is a remarkable thing that it lets us look at our values a little bit. It lets us sort of examine what pornography is and what it means. And why is it like, oh, with a porn star, my God. The idea of porn, its existence, is powerful. It exists on the fringes of entertainment and what people are into. And it represents something about, you know, the human experience, whether that's good or bad. And maybe ironically, pornography tends to use modes of art. Pornography tends to use expression styles that art usually occupies first. Well, I'm pretty confident that that's true. You know, still images, movies, audio files, written stories, all of these things are...
Painting
are,
and sculpture before had photography.
Hey, I was just going to say... we've actually got an expert here who probably can illuminate even more of this stuff for us, and he's doing it already.
Oh, man.
But while it uses these modes, pornography does stand apart from art. Or does it? There's the question. And if only we had an art expert in my basement to talk with us about that stuff. And Ward, you've already begun kind of answering this, but in your experience, where is the delineate? Is it about purpose? Is it about the intention of the creators? Is it about what it has in effect, the effect it has or seeks to have on the audience? Where do you see, okay, on one side of this line, porn, on the other side is art?
Before I answer the question, I just want to be clear that I did not study art. I have no scholastic or academic achievement in art, but I've experienced it. I create it. I make it. I observe art. So like, I'm going to be speaking from
you
my
work
own.
In it. Yeah,
it's your life right now.
Sure. Yeah. It's my life right
has
now.
Has been
but
for years.
Experientially, so. You've been this for years.
Right. Yeah. But when you bring up the word expert,
humble.
I want to just be clear that I'm not an academic expert on the subject.
Got
that,
it.
That'll Jill and I will do all the pretension
duly
as required, of course. We will handle that.
I think the easy answer to that question, the direct answer to that question, is it comes down to intention. Pornography's sole intention is sexual arousal of the viewer. I mean, as far as I understand it, unless there's another intention for pornography, which I'm unaware of, the intention is you create this subject to sexually arouse your viewer.
Certainly, yeah, to put the idea of carnal desires and expression into the mind of the viewer.
Right.
Jill, are we comfortable with that explanation, definition?
I'm looking up the definition. I was careful to write pornography definition because...
when anyone checks your Google
I
history...
I feel like
start
if I just put
define
the...
Pornography.
Right.
Oh, define bonus points, by the way, to any dictionary... that includes in it the word titillation.
Right.
And bonus points to any person who works that into polite conversation. Yeah.
So I think, okay, so if somebody makes a pornographic movie and an audience member goes up to the director later, it was like, that did nothing for me. Got nothing out of that. Not aroused. Didn't get me off. Don't you think that the director's like, man, I guess I messed up. Guess I didn't do a good job with that porno. I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
First of all, maybe I like the notion that it's like Man's Chinese Theater premiere. You know what I mean? Of like, you know, bouncing
okay,
butts.
Okay, so maybe
27.
maybe he Yelps it. I don't know. Where do you write reviews for pornography? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure you write in a bathroom stall.
Right. Okay. Like, so the director is in the bathroom stall and he reads on it, "This movie sucked." Then he's like,
"With
oh,
like
man.
3 K's and sucked." He's like, "Because it's
yeah,
terrible."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh man, now I gotta rethink my career.
Jill's looking.
I can't get online. Oh, I need your password.
Sorry. No, I'm not giving my password to porn. You crazy?
It's a definition.
So I think with pornography that it's to arouse lust. It's sexually explicit content intended to sexually arouse. I think
exclusively is what we're saying too, right?
I'm saying exclusively.
The point is that it's not. That's not part of the bouquet. That is not... I'm so close to the word bukkake that I have to say it.
Wow.
I can't do it. I can't not be... It's there. But it is not one of many effects, nor is it an undesired effect. It is, look, that's what we're after.
That's what we're after.
Rocks off. Good. No yes. Rocks off.
That's what
unsuccessful.
I'm...
Unsuccessful.
That's what I'm...
That's the bathroom
declaring.
Stall.
That's my declarative statement.
Jill is currently... consulting a...
Pornography.
Consulting a tome... Webster's Dictionary, which I feel like you're about to write a really crappy essay that you would rightly fail. According to Webster's Dictionary.
Yes, exactly. Writing about prostitutes and the presentation of sexually explicit behavior as in a photograph intended to arouse sexual excitement.
Oh, okay, wow. But how about this, Jill? Does that do it for you? Does that satisfy your definition and criteria of what pornography is?
It does.
Is that enough?
It does, because I really, to me, it's that's what its purpose is for, is it's to arouse the viewer. Now, I don't necessarily agree with Ward that if it doesn't have that desired effect on a person, does that mean that it's no longer pornography? I don't know. I don't agree with that because
well, I think
there's
it was,
such
it was a
range.
Successful pornography if it fails to do that with the intended audience, I think.
Well, it depends on what the intended audience is. Because there's so many
fans of seeing goats do terrible things to people.
Yeah, I wasn't saying
that's a different. That's a very niche.
I wasn't
is
saying
it? Oh, no.
type of paraphilia there. But
ooh, good word.
I wasn't saying that if it doesn't titillate a specific audience member, then it's failed.
Bonus
I think,
points
I, but I think its fundamental goal is
yes. I agree.
Is arousal. And I think it's very transparent in its goal. Like,
yes, it's not... This is a hidden...
Quite so.
Hidden thing. Surprise!
And I remember seeing on certain box art in, like, the behind the Batwing doors
the
at the video
room.
Rental place. Yeah. Yeah. I remember looking at, like, as soon as I was in there, seeing box art art used as loosely as it could be. But seeing the images on the boxes going like, whoa! It's all right there.
Well, I remember when somebody would come out of that room and, like, the beaded curtain or whatever was dividing that from the... safe part of the
Blockbuster
or whatever video store it was. I remember like walking by and catching a glimpse of me like, oh no.
Those aren't the
like,
bathrooms.
Like pre-adolescent Ward being like, oh, so uncomfortable.
So, all right. And that touches on, okay. That actually brings up something and I'm tempted to jettison the next question, but I think it's important that we draw the contrast early.
Okay.
So, all right. We seem to be in basic agreement that porn is single-minded in its pursuits,
yes.
Right? There might be outliers of, oh, that was an interesting shot. But it all ends in the same activity
correct.
Type, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
So, all right. And again, this is the most pretentious I'll ever be probably on the show in the next 10 minutes. What then, to your mind, and Jill, I want to open this up to you and to me after,
right.
What is the purpose of art now? Obviously, this is a multivariated question. But, you know... Let's contrast this with porn. Let us leave porn behind the beaded curtain, right? Let us leave Stormy where she is right now and talk about what art's purpose is.
Well, I think art... This is so much more difficult a question. So,
should we go back behind the beaded curtain? Should we go back into the blue light?
I think the goal is... getting the intention of the artist in sync with the viewer, but you can say the same thing about pornography.
That's true. If we leave this saying that pornography is art, I'll be stunned and interested.
I'm going to be very disappointed in myself.
Which, and I'm not trying to corner you on definitions, sure, because sure. I think a lot of this, when we get out of the textbook definition of this or the perception of that, we will see certain tectonic differences. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if there is anything even within the understood parameters of what this is trying to do within art that is different than porn, which I would submit. I'm going to go back to that idea of single-mindedness. Porn is out there trying to get rocks off, and art has certainly more on its agenda than that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a starting place.
I think that's a starting place. I think art should inspire. I think art should bring an emotional reaction. I think art is something that the viewer, like I said, the intention of the artist should sync with the viewer's reaction to it. That's at least their goal. Not that it should or has to be successful, but like, as a viewer, a good experience with a piece of art is sort of feeling like you get it. Not that you have to get it but like, you feel good at the end of the day if you look at a piece of art and you're like, I think I know where that artist is coming from. Or I see something in myself that relates to what that artist is depicting.
There would seem to be a pretty strong contrast in saying, like, so I was watching, again, like, Boob Storm.
Right.
And I really feel like I get where the director...
Boob Storm!
I really get... If there is one, I'm amazed.
Number nine, Boob Storm. Yeah, of course. They made nine of them.
Snatchnado.
Episode title. Which it will not be. Don't worry, Ward. But I do feel like it would be... It's comical if we say, I get what the director was trying to say.
Right.
Whereas in art, whether it's I get what the artist was trying to say, or to your point, I'm affected, I've had a moment of self-reckoning or of self-realization, that is the purview of art versus pornography. Now, Jill's got a face on, and I just want to... I'm asking... Do you see any problems with that distinction already?
I disagree with it.
What the
heck? So, yes.
This is not a forum to be cavalier.
So I disagree. Only because there's been great, what's deemed quote-unquote great art that I don't get. And to me, I'm like, I don't feel anything when I look at this. So, therefore, I'm on a very different page from the intended. So, to me, art is more so just outward manifestation, expression of an emotion of the experience of life that has somehow been put to paper, pen, pencil,
distilled somehow.
Brush. Right. It's been put into this thing for your consumption. The intended effect, the intended effect is neither here nor there. It is this distillation of this piece of me that I've now put out there for your consumption. So therefore, to me, like, pornography can be art.
That's sort of a postmodern perspective, I would guess, then.
Right.
To say, look, and I want to talk about this a little bit more later with Ward, too. The artist's intention, whatever it is one factor. The audience's response and reaction is a separate, perhaps related, but it could be a wholly distinct issue.
Right.
Which I would submit, again, is a further distinction from pornography to art. We're already in more complicated waters.
Right.
To where the one would not say, you know, I watched, what was your example of the pornography name? The NATO?
Snatchnado.
I watched Snatchnado 12. And I know that he was trying to arouse me, the director, but I'm deeply, deeply in the throes of ennui. That's not going to happen. It's either like, I didn't get off on that. I know he wanted me to and I didn't. So I feel like already art is more subtle and has more angles to it, even when we disagree about its definition. Yeah.
To speak to the points that you were making, that you may or may not be moved or recognize the intention of the artist.
Right.
And I don't think that matters.
Okay.
Because somebody...
Jill, who cares what she thinks?
Because somebody is. Or the artist is hoping that somebody is.
Right.
I mean, they're putting it out there, and it's a risk. I mean, you're putting... Anytime you put yourself out there, you're becoming vulnerable and risking something. But I think the ultimate goal for every artist when they're creating something is that this will move somebody.
They're thinking of some kind of audience when they're creating, is what you're saying.
It's hard to.
I don't know that artists are necessarily have to do this for someone. I think a lot of it's like, I have to do this for myself. Like, I gotta get this out there.
Absolutely, yeah.
But at the same time, no one ever sees it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Can some? Well, I think that's important for us to lay some.
If a fall tree,
if a fall tree dies forest up, clapping anyone here?
Right. I mean, every artist whose work you've ever seen has volumes of work that you've not seen.
Deliberately, I'm going to create this thing. No one will ever see it. This
I mean, the whole process of art making has waste. You know, like you don't show the stuff that you don't necessarily show the stuff that was part of your process to get to the thing that you showed.
Okay, let me push things along a little bit because I think it would be one hell of a podcast that was like we just solved one of the ancient questions of the universe. Let me pull it not all the way back to behind the beaded curtain ward, but let me do this. Where do you suppose? Where might you be comfortable drawing a line? Okay, and I don't want to put too fine a point on this, but on one side of this line is pornography. On the other side of this line is art. Where do you suppose you think that line is? Where something is no longer art? Because we have seen, and we'll talk about nudity and even sexual, sexuality in art. But where is the demarcation? One of them. Between where something is no longer artistic, this is pornographic.
I mean, I would say that it's in depicting the sex act, like in a graphic depiction.
The act of coitus, cunnilingus, analingus, whateveringus.
When you're showing the parts. It's
showing parts.
When you're showing the parts.
But Michelangelo's...
In the sex act.
Okay. Now, Greek pottery.
Some of it does.
Ancient Grecian pottery has
some
very... enthusiastic males and females. There's the Kama Sutra.
There's some Egyptian tapestries that depict very graphic. I still think it fall for that time period.
Which I'm not challenging. I'm asking.
I think it still falls into the pornographic area.
Okay. Let me finish that idea by saying this to you. Well, asking this anyway. What is, to your mind as a working, not just art gallery, director, but also an artist. You continue to produce art yourself. Mm-hmm. Today, contemporarily, what is taboo in art? What remains a taboo in art today? I don't know how, if you want to make this local, national, global, but since art pushes boundaries and can challenge people, can push us as an audience to rethink something or re-examine or reconsider... even sometimes it's taste, right?
Yeah.
Where do you see there being taboos in art
today?
I mean,
I think it varies from group of consumer to group of consumer, like group of audience to group of audience. Like you'll have probably a great many people in middle America that are uncomfortable with nudity in art, whether it's the Sistine Chapel or it's, you know, graphic photographs.
Fucking Savonarolas in Idaho.
Right. So I
Bonfire the Vanities joke, 20 points, Sean.
So I think there's certainly people today in America that are uncomfortable. They don't want their adolescent boys seeing a painting with a naked person because it's going to bring about lust in them or something. I think they're wrong, but I think there are people that is taboo, that nudity in art of any form, unless it's like baby angels, is taboo.
Cherubs.
Now, yeah, baby angels.
Mostly seen via the butt cheeks. The butt cheek baby angel.
So I do think, there are people that's a step too far for them.
Okay.
Not for me. I think it's beautiful. There can be a beautiful depiction of the nude human form in art. But I think in the art world, in the lofty, Brandy Snifter.
Yeah. I was just thinking Snifter. I was.
The
took the words right out of my mouth. Yes.
Black turtleneck group. I think that's probably a very 90s
Jeff Goldblum
depiction.
Of the world.
Well, we are creatures of the 90s. Right. The shirtless, reclined Jeff Goldblum Jurassic Park figures, sure.
I mean, I think it's tough to know what's taboo anymore in art because everybody.
What
the
about
envelope
for you?
Has been pushed so far.
What about for you? Yeah. And how about this? For you, and if it's different, the Bethlehem House Gallery. Okay. What are things you look there for us or for me or for our audiences? These are some things that it feels like
too far.
Right. There's a question of taste now in what you've decided to represent.
Right.
For you, and if there's a difference, the gallery.
Yeah. I'm okay with nudity in art. I'm okay with nudity.
So I can keep my shirt off right now.
In the gallery.
Okay.
Okay. But a lot of it has to do with the intent of the nude. So, like, of the artist's portrayal of the nude. So, if you're portraying, and it's too much for me if I am seeing the sex act in a painting. Right. It's too much. It's not. I've now been taken out of this painting, and now I'm just thinking, why am I watching people having sex in this painting?
Which is an interesting way to put it, because in terms of, I think, violence, too, there are people who say, look, you've taken me out.
Right.
Of this thing, because and now I'm either worried or I'm...
But but if they were doing it to point out that at the end of the day, they're just bodies, right? Like, if it was actually a commentary on it, would that be okay?
What if it was a factory and they're depositing sexual
organs
on a
I would accept it
clearly
as a
I
piece
would be
of
a
art.
Crappy artist.
I would accept it as a piece of art that somebody made, but I would not exhibit it,
right.
And I wouldn't
okay.
hang it in my house.
Okay.
And I would probably protect my children from it because I'm not ready to have that conversation
okay.
with them.
Okay.
Okay. So basically, the sexual parts involved in a sexual act,
sure,
is taboo for me in art and body fluids in general. I don't like body fluids in art.
Not a big fan of Piss Christ, I'm guessing.
Right,
if we all remember that.
Oh,
the
submerged. Oh, yeah. And like anything poo-related. Like,
yeah,
like,
what was the
some art is confrontational.
Well, there was,
I'm going to make you angry,
yeah,
outraged.
There was the elephant
art.
Dung one, too.
Yeah,
and I'm sorry, hold on.
There was that woman who also who like made yarn in her vagina or something. It was weird. She knitted.
Okay.
Wow. Well.
Chris.
Menstrual blood.
Chris Ophelia, the Holy Virgin Mary made out of elephant dung.
That just seems
time.
Nobody's happy now.
Yeah. It's well,
including
it's
the artist.
Provocative.
Yeah.
I mean, and it seems like the intent there is provoking a reaction.
Right.
Now, I don't know that was his intent, but it seems like it might have been.
Why elephants?
I always think of like Divine eating the dog poo and that John Waters.
He was a British artist of Nigerian ancestry, so the piece of art was created in a sort of African style,
okay,
and maybe the elephant dung has to do with that.
Right. See?
I still think it's yucky, I still think it's offensive, and I don't like it.
Right.
Okay? But you mentioned violence. I would say that is also taboo for me in art. If it's like to the point of mutilation, to the point of images that just make me, it's too much.
And there's, you know, famously, there's like H.R. Giger who does like sort of sexual machinery or sexual violence, or there's executions in some of the sort of Spanish art that looks at revolutionary stuff like that. So you're like kind of, unless it is very, very stylized, you're saying, look, if we're looking at something that is grotesque.
Yeah. And then if you make a piece of art that is sexually violent, then I just shut down.
Like, yeah. I do too.
All right. Yeah. So let me shift this along again, because a lot of what you were talking about, which makes total sense, especially given our theme here, has to do with the human body, with nudity, and, you know, credit where it's due. Jill had asked this when we were talking about, you know, this very conversation, but it has to do with how nudity has changed. Right? You were thinking about how nudity has evolved, how it's changed.
Yeah,
what was your line of thinking on that exactly?
Well, so I always think about, you know, like Botticelli and how all these Renaissance and pre-Renaissance period, and correct me if I'm, and I could be wrong. I'm just going to not say correct me because it's entirely likely that I'm wrong at some point because I did not study. I had an art history class and I memorized the slides for the test and I put them out of my mind immediately.
Who did you have for art history?
I went to community college, so it was a different thing.
I would not know.
But
there she goes. There she goes.
Hitting the mic. But I always think about how there were all these great nude statues and then nude paintings where women were naked, and one, obviously their shape was very different at the time, and men were naked and things, and it was not in a sexual way, like they weren't having sex in these paintings, but they were.
It was
the
sort of
naked.
Ideal
right, just kind of showing
form.
Right, just showing naked people. Think about the David. I mean, it's just naked people running around.
Get a leaf on that guy.
Right. And then kind of Victorian era and everything's covered up and we don't talk about it. And then
that's a
now,
pretty big time jump, but okay.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, so when
you
I think
say
about
correct
the
me if I'm
flow,
wrong.
Right, but I'm just saying the ebb and flows where we're at a point now where I feel like pornography while we don't talk about it as much, is ever present. We've somehow accepted it, but we don't talk about it. But like everybody knows it. Most people have seen it,
right?
But yet, on film and things, and that's more so because it's my background. Women's top chests are, we don't seem to have an issue with seeing those in movies, but talk about lower bits and forget it. And regardless of what the content is, whether it's sexual or not, we have, at least as an American society, an issue with it. And I'm just curious about that. I'm just very curious about that.
I mean, I don't think it's specifically with women's lower bits. Nobody's thrilled to see men's lower bits either.
Right, but
that's
what I'm saying.
Especially not ready for sex.
Right.
Men's bits.
Right.
Like, the Statue of David, you see his bits, but they're not ready for sex bits.
But if he was like, hey!
But I also think about, but I also think about, like, Instagram, you can't have a nipple, or it's, as for a woman, if there's a woman's nipple on Instagram, Instagram takes it down. Regardless of whether it's a woman showing her breastfeeding a baby, which is the opposite of a sex act.
But what if I was breastfeeding a baby? Totally fine. No,
I want documentation of it. Yeah.
No, I'm saying, but man nips, totally
fine. I don't think they don't have an issue with men, although there are some men's photos. I know there was one guy who I follow who had a photo of him in a Speedo, and he said Instagram took it down because it showed too much.
I think you make a great point about the sexualization in our society and everything sexualized. I mean, the premium channels, their TV shows are one step away from pornography in the beginning of their series.
Well, the intensity drops.
Yeah.
Right.
But I want to go back
to the shock value drops.
Sure. Good point.
I want to touch viewers. On the what Jill was saying about sculptures and paintings and nudity, you know, the art history of it.
Well, that's what I wanted to what I wanted to refine and focus specifically on that.
Cool.
Because exactly to your point, and to Jill's too, in a different way, nudity now, if you want to find it, is very easy to access.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering, and I want to hear this art history idea about it, this evolution of the use of nudity and sexuality, and I'm talking high art now, real art, or whatever you want to call that. Because
the classics.
And I think Jill's phrasing was like, there used to be naked people all over the place. She actually texted me that.
I did, yes.
And now in art, at least from our perspective, because I agree with her, it seems like nudity is used less as a, oh my gosh, in art.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But now that nudity is so easy to find, it feels like, maybe you can speak to this, it feels like nudity in art is less of a thing?
Mm-hmm. Sure. I mean, among certain groups, I still think that you get the sort of puritanical folks that...
I don't mean it's less of a big deal. I mean, it feels like it's less of a, I'm going to do this to make an impact.
Right. Yeah, sure.
So has that been an arc that you can observe this as nudity grows in normal life? It goes down.
Okay, so
in
like,
art?
If you want to go into the art history of it, in which I do,
you open that door.
If you want me to talk about this, please. in Greek art, what do you see most depictions of? You see more depictions of the Greek male, particularly in early Greek art, much more of it. Okay, a lot of that was reflected by the Greek society. Male nudity was more acceptable in Greek society than female nudity was. Men went to their bathhouses and they did their wrestling, and there was just a lot of naked Olympics and stuff going on back then.
I like that, just the phrase they did there.
They did their anything.
Ladies are doing all their cooking.
Yeah, they're cooking in their gowns, and then the dudes are out wrestling.
They're out there
in their nakedness.
They're doing their ball kicking in their no clothes.
Yeah. So in Greek society, the focus on male nudity was sort of a like militaristic thing, showing your strength, the strength of the male nude, and that is reflected in the strength of our maleness and our strong military. Huh. And it was a very militaristic society. So,
what was their idea though of the complete person, the male who is intellectually and physically superior, right?
And it's reflected in the art that they like made the hands bigger than the hands are on a human male. Like they did things to accentuate that strength.
But they're fake? What? They're fake?
Yeah.
It's not,
it's not real. But they're almost caricatures of a perfect male.
I didn't have to go back and look.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, but women weren't represented as often in the nude. And in fact, there was, I wrote it down, but I'm not going to remember it. It doesn't really matter.
Who gives a shit?
But the Aphrodite of something, which was a sculpture made by Praxiteles. I'm probably mispronouncing
I'm
that.
I'm going to take your word
Sounds
for
perfect.
It.
Sounds but it was perfect.
Yanni's burned, so yeah. We don't have experts
But
in
it was
area.
The first full female nude sculpture in Greek antiquity that we know of. Okay?
Okay.
And
okay.
It was taboo.
Full form.
Full form, nude woman, front and back. All stuff. And it was taboo. It was not received well because it was not appropriate to show the female nude.
Wow.
Now, this same artist made a lot of them, and it became like, oh, wow, that's great. That's great.
But this was in a climate where had he done like just a male nude,
yeah,
like,
it would have been fine.
All right,
yeah,
just put it over by the urn.
Well, put it in the middle of town square where we have our, you know, community announcements. I mean, it was there, but the female nude was not.
Huh.
Towards the end of Greek society and going into Roman, you saw more and more of the female nude. And
I like then that the Greek society ends. It's just over.
So, and then the Romans got much more into the female nude and the male nude. They sort of went with both.
Those Romans.
Like,
oh, everybody should be naked.
These are great. Romans. He's like, we like it a lot. These will make our men stronger and more muscular than those stupid Greeks did, and we'll put their sculptures in museums because that's a dead culture, and ours is alive and thriving.
With naked ladies. With
naked ladies. So I think that now, we'll bring it around to now, I think the male nude is more taboo than the female nude in our culture.
Yeah.
Okay? Which is an interesting just flip around from the I talk with my hands a lot, so I hit things.
Damn it.
So
he's
it's an interesting turnaround
wildly.
From what? How many thousand years ago was Greek society?
Three.
A long time ago.
A long time ago. Well, in that time,
yes.
Boys are icky and girls are pretty.
But it's so weird to me. Because, yeah, if you have full frontal nudity, which
not on this
only,
show.
Which really only in
Nip-tuck,
terms of
that's
like,
it.
Right, in terms of like what when you use that term, you're 99% of the time only referring to a man in a film. Full frontal nudity refers to a male.
That's not how I think of it.
Well, in like cinema speak, that's normally what you're referring to. That equates to an NC-17 rating, regardless of the content.
Of the jokes.
Of the scene, of the purpose of it, right? That's what
hey,
it immediately
sec,
equates to that.
And maybe this can help me get toward my next question about this.
But yes.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yes.
Have we seen this?
Yes, mm-hmm. I have.
There is full frontal male. Now, I'm not saying it's art. We could debate the
right,
role of
frontal,
cinema
right.
and mm. certain offerings in the mainstream of whether it's artistic or whether it's something else. But there is full frontal male nudity
yeah.
in that movie. To my, if memory serves, there is not,
no, not.
Full frontal, or I don't know, is there any female nudity?
Not
the leads, I don't
know. No,
think.
There is. There's one, there's a photo of Mila Kunis that he gets.
Yeah, but that's, okay.
But you see her naked breasts in that film, in that
in
photo,
the photo.
In the photo.
In the, okay.
Right, but you still see him.
Which, all right, okay.
But yeah. But that's what I'm saying. You never see vagina in movies. I'm sorry, you just don't.
Well, may I introduce
I mean,
you
I hate to be graphic, but
pornography.
You just... But my point
you're saying
being
the
is
anatomical reality is you, that as far as one would know if they only watched movies, women have are,
don't exist
are
below
basically
the waist.
Must be like Barbies below the waist.
Right.
Whereas men, and, we have evidence to believe, have something
right.
going on down there.
Right.
I see what you're saying.
Which is weird because that's where everyone, unless you have a C-section, that's where you come from.
But never look back, I guess, is the message. So, Ward, can I
continue? Yeah.
Can I sort of row us?
Yep, on? Yep.
This is the last major question, and I would like to remind everybody again that Ward is coming back. And so there are some issues about all of this, about art history, and about its effect on our culture that I think we'll probably be revisiting.
Right,
in
and
a couple
guests
weeks.
Are welcome to offer their questions
to
or
guests?
Insights. Guests.
Yeah, anybody.
You mean you're allowed
anybody?
To ask, or you mean listeners?
The board's like, look, I don't
I have a page of questions
I mean, I said
that I have been patiently waiting.
I'll be in the back. Whoever's on
listeners,
next.
Your audience. No, but I'm all set up in the back. I've got permanent. I'm a permanent fixture. I've already etched my name into the microphone.
Guests can come on back.
They can ask me any questions they want.
I've got pictures of bottoms of Greek everybody's. Don't worry about it.
But yes, listeners are welcome to
yeah,
send
sure.
us any
Both
questions
of you got
that they have
very
for
defensive
Ward.
There. Like, this is our show.
No. It's not defensiveness. I was so excited to be like, Ward is just saying, hey, anybody who comes to the show better reach out to me.
Right.
Don't take these people's crap. I'm here for you. That's the first time a guest has been like, represent the guests, man. So let me take a moment here.
I'm sorry for the people.
But Ward comes with a challenge, a contest, a thing, an idea. First of all, can we plug anything for you?
Yes, please.
Besides your reappearance on the show in, what is it, 3 weeks?
Yeah,
weeks.
Next month, yep, so 3 weeks.
Yeah, he'll be back. Yeah. Send your questions.
So currently at Bethlehem House Gallery, we have until April 7th, which is the closing of the juried show Printmakers. So come out and see that before it closes. You won't have much time after the show airs. About a week and a half, right?
Get in there.
So come out and see that. And yeah, Jill was at the opening night. Yeah.
Aw, you're so cultured. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I said, thank you, Jill.
Every like purchase. Like a Texan.
Can we guarantee every purchase gets a thank you?
Thank you. And then after that, in April, we will be opening our spring show. Which I will be one of the featured artists, so please come out and see my new work in show. I'm not one of the featured artists in every show, but this one I will be now.
Now, what medium? What medium? Because you kind of do a couple mediums.
My primary medium is reverse oils on glass.
Hell is that?
Yeah. Oh, Jill.
What is that?
Come on.
Like, you know. You don't know.
I do. He does, usually does it on plexi.
You only know because he's... You're
I only know because I learned. Yeah.
He only knows because he's a collector.
Contractually obligated.
Yeah.
No, he's a collector and owner of a few of my pieces.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe we'll touch on that next time you're here.
We will do a Jill in your face.
We'll do a photo of it.
But the short answer is reverse painting on glass is when I apply the paint to the side of the glass that you're not viewing.
Okay.
So you view
it's
the unpainted
side. It's an episode we
talk
about porn. It's the butt side.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah.
Nice. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I apply it to the butt.
Does that mean you sign it first?
I sign it early.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
This is me. Mm-hmm. And here we go.
Me.
Yeah. So that'll be what will be in the show. A new series that's done with a palette knife on reverse, and it features flowers and stuff.
Are we doing poppies stuff?
Mm-hmm. More poppies, but this time I've incorporated figures into the poppy paintings.
Man, I'm a fan. See? Yeah.
Poppy people.
Boom. Mm-hmm. The poppy people.
So that will open April 21st. It will feature myself, artist Tom Kelly, Marta Whistler, Josh Schwartz, Tina Bradford, and I'm certain that I'm forgetting somebody else, and I apologize. Her last name is Dance. I forget her first name at
Charles.
The moment. It's a woman.
That's an actor.
Jill
Dance.
That's
the guy from The Golden Child, right? And the dad of...
Janet Dance.
Okay. Janet
not,
Dance.
Not that, yes.
On Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah.
Charles. So that's Dance. April 21st, and then, same month... in April, I think a couple weeks earlier, my work will be featured in the Apollo Grill in downtown Bethlehem.
Delicious food, by the way.
Better art, but delicious food.
So I have two shows at the same time next month, and I have been painting to prep for these shows.
That's great. Feast for your tummy and your eyes.
It's not porn, but it is very satisfying.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So what do you got here for us?
Now, what can we do to get our listeners maybe jazzed up about going to see these things and maybe feeling like they're participating in some small way?
Well, I have a short little bit of Bethlehem House Gallery trivia that I'd like to play tonight. And I would like to offer as prizes $25 gift cards.
How many of those $25
gift cards? I got five $25 gift cards for five questions.
$5.25 for five.
One winner, sorry, not one winner.
One card per winner.
One card per, yeah. So
one winner is getting, so to be clear, he's got five questions, five cards.
You can only
five
win once.
Five people will win.
Right, yes. You can win $25.
Yeah.
Bethlehem House Gallery. And they have stuff that's aside from art, just so that people are clear. There's also like jewelry, I think, there.
Yeah,
and other
we have
stuff, like
jewelry
cool,
and glass
cool
arts. And some things are.
Jewelry can be art, Jill.
No, but I'm saying if people are like, well, I have enough stuff on my walls, guys.
Right.
Like,
that's
there's
true.
Plenty of stuff for
wearables,
your place that's awesome
small stuff,
at this place. Like,
large
you can
stuff.
Use this money plenty.
Do you still have the plates?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are
yeah.
these plates where they're broken but like reassembled and there's like.
Cool
shatter
stuff.
Plates.
Oh, seriously. It's so artistic.
Cool All right. stuff.
So, should we get into it? The five trivia questions?
Now, we're. Just to be clear, we will not be answering on the show.
Sure.
Ward is going to hit you with these questions, and then they can answer them Whether it's all of them, if they want to send in all, but there can only win one, or if they just want to say, hey, for number three, right, the answer is this, and they can send that into our email, correct? Whiparound at thewhiparound@gmail.com. Send it to our Facebook, our Twitter, right?
Right, and the first person to get the question right.
And if somebody sends in, like, all of them, we'll just take the first
one on
that list.
We'll go the first one, yeah. Okay. It's all the same prize. So, okay. So, question number one. What ornamental feature is built into the architecture of our building on either side of the front door? Okay. So, our building is on Main Street in historic Bethlehem. There is an ornamental feature built into the architecture on our front door.
It is not the lower half of any Greeks.
Yes. Question number two. How many exhibit rooms does Bethlehem House Gallery boast, including the lobby? All right.
What do you think of that?
So if you haven't been, come on in and count our rooms.
I'll give you a hint. It is fewer rooms than Buckingham Palace has.
Fewer. Yep. What clue to the original intent of our building is built into the basement? This is a multiple choice question, okay? A, a bank vault. B, a crematorium, or C, a kitchen. So what feature is built into the basement that gives us a hint of why this building was built initially?
I know what I hope it is.
Yeah. Question four. How many printmakers are featured in our current juried show? All right, so this is the show that is up right now that closes on April 7th. It was it's a contest, an art contest, juried show. How many artists, printmakers, are featured in this show?
Hey, how could they find out the answer to that question, Ward?
I guess they could probably go into the gallery and count.
Get your took us over to where the art is.
And it's also, it's a great, you can have dinner and like then walk across and check it out. Like, it's a good night. Make it a night. Make it a night.
Great restaurants, great bars, fun shops.
It is within staggering distance of many fine eateries and drinkeries.
There we go. And then question number five, and now I have a surprise bonus to this question.
Ooh,
also.
All right.
So how many artists were featured in our inaugural show? That was back in 2014 when we had our grand opening. How many artists were featured in that show, not including furniture makers, the featured artists?
The hell with them.
Okay. Now, the bonus is I will give another $25 gift card. So that is six $25 gift cards.
$50.
Right. If you can name two of the artists that were featured in that inaugural show. So that means that one person can win twice.
Oh, right. Man. That's so much art.
Right? So, great. And then in addition to that, so that's the contest, right? You get a $25 gift card.
Very
but in
exciting.
Addition to that, I have some Bethlehem House Gallery logoed pint glasses.
Which are very cool. I can
they
say
are.
This. Ward has shown us.
They're really cool.
We actually might be getting some as swag because we are the coolest hosts. And they are very cool.
So if you, if any listeners, not guests, I'm the guest. You're the listeners. If any listeners would like to email the Whip Around or ask via social media, ask me a question about the gallery, about the Lehigh Valley art scene, how it relate, how the gallery relates to it, or how we relate to the Lehigh Valley art scene. I will pick the five most interesting questions and read them on when I'm on next, and you will get a Bethlehem House Gallery pint glass.
Which they're not for? Are they for sale in the gallery?
No,
you
are.
Gotta be
oh
a
gosh.
Friend of the gallery.
I feel so special right now.
Yep,
these it's are really not awesome, for guys.
This
seriously.
Is swag.
Yeah, man,
it's really cool.
Okay, that is very exciting stuff. We have taken oh so much time. Can we please
play a game?
I have so much editing to do.
Play a game.
Can we please end this with an immature game?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, I'm so long winded. I apologize.
No, we
you're
all
in
do.
The arts, it's all right.
Feel really self-important a lot of the time.
Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. And again, this is to bring the tone back down, to bring it back into the gutter.
Lowbrow.
I'm going to alternate with you guys on what I'm about to do. Okay.
Okay.
Just so you know, Ward is going to go first, then Jill.
Oh, good.
The name of the game, and this is going to test your knowledge of artists. Okay, your knowledge of famous artists. Visual artists, that is...
This is basically going to discredit everything that I've said right up till this point.
No, you believe me when I tell you, you will have plausible deniability on anything you miss.
Marlene Arbragabagovich.
What we are about to play... is Unporn That Name.
Oh, I like it.
Unporn That Name.
I like it, I like it.
Fine Arts Edition.
Okay.
So, Ward, you are going to be going first. Okay. And the winner of this game gets total bragging rights.
Okay, so you're going to give me a...
Don't worry. Okay. I'm going to tell you.
He always explains. Do you not listen to this show?
He's painting and he's distracted.
I know.
You need to prioritize.
Caught up in my reds. Well,
that's good. All right. So what I'm going to do, Ward, is read you a porn actor or porn actress's name. In actuality, it is a fine artist from at some point in recent or faraway history. All you need to do is tell me the actual artist name that I have given a side career in the pornographic
arts. So it's like
arts.
Code breaking.
Okay.
Correct.
Got it. All right.
And these are not mind breakers, I hope, but it is stupid and funny. Darn it.
They're made up names. They're not like real porn stars that you
None of the names
to.
That I'm going to give you have actually been used by these famous artists to be in pornography, to my knowledge.
Okay.
Does this harken back to our marijuana episode? Is Georgia O'Keeffe in there?
You know what? I was looking at Georgia O'Keeffe. I'm like, it's pointless to even use her because it would have to be that.
You guys need to check out that episode.
Yeah, that was good. That was Dave was doing some solid work in helping us be irreverent. So, Ward, are you ready?
I'm ready.
For your first artist, if he or she were in porn.
Okay.
And we'll start fairly easy.
Okay.
Marie, where that ass at? Marie, where that ass at?
I don't know.
Marie Cassatt is the famous Marie Cassatt.
Oh, okay.
I don't know
that. I do know who she
She's
is.
She's a fine, fine artist.
I'm going to not do well.
Well, let's see. Jill?
Yeah.
Your first entry.
Okay.
Vinnie Van Dong. Vinnie Van Dong.
I'm going to say Vincent Van Gogh.
That is correct.
Yay!
Vincent Van Gogh, a.k.a. Vinnie Van Dong.
It's also his mob name.
That's right. That's right. Ward,
yes.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I guess. Unemphatically.
Willie Cunting. Willie Cunting.
I'm horrible at this game.
I feel like you're getting hard ones.
He is, because he's the artist. I made this so much harder for Ward.
I got no.
Willem de Kooning. Willem de Kooning. Willem de Kooning.
Okay.
Jill.
Yeah.
P.B. DeGasso.
P.B. DeGasso.
That is correct. That is
correct.
Congratulations again to Jill. Jill.
I own a gallery, Ward.
2-0. All right, Ward. All right. Eddie Diaz. Eddie Diaz.
Ooh, I think I'm... No, I don't.
Maybe we want to focus on that last name.
I mean, unless there's an artist named Eddie Diaz, which I'm not familiar with an
Eddie Diaz.
What about, like, Eduardo?
Degas.
Yes! Yeah. That is correct! Ward has gotten Degas. He's climbing up on Jill's score. Jill. Jack Polcock.
Jackson Pollock.
Correct!
Oh, yeah.
She's not going to be easy to overtake.
Nope.
Ward. Drew Warrior Hole. Drew Warrior
Andy
Hole.
Warhol.
Hey, great job. Ward is on the comeback trail. I'm
starting to get in the right frame of mind.
All right.
I mean, the wrong frame of mind, but
okay,
the
Jill,
right one.
Jill?
I feel like he would have loved that name, though.
Probably. I think
like,
so.
Ah, yes, I am a Warrior Hole.
It was probably written on the factory wall somewhere.
Jill?
Yes.
Eddie V. Muncher.
Oh,
Eddie V. Muncher.
Yeah, no. I always forget.
Do
is
I get
it
a steal?
Just, is it...
Oh, sure.
Is it Munch or is it Munich? I always want to say Munich, and I know that's not right. It is Munch,
but I can't think of his first name, but he's the one who did the scream.
I was going to say, I'm going to give it to you. It's Edvard Munch.
Edvard Munch.
But I like Eddie Munch. V. Muncher. Guess what the V stands for?
Victor?
Vernacular. Eddie V. Muncher. Okay.
Yep.
Ward.
Mm. Oh, I got it.
This is your last one.
Oh, so I can't win.
Well, hey, who knows, Ward?
Does anybody
could
win
be
at
worth
this game?
50
this,
points. It could be worth 50 points.
Yeah, this will be worth 100 points,
okay.
Ward. And it is the one I'm proudest of.
Okay, good.
Ray Lichtenstein. Ray Lichtenstein.
Roy Lichtenstein.
That is correct.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Jill,
yeah.
Yours is worth 10,000 points.
Okay, so to win and steal.
That's right. Correct. El Porco. El Porco.
I got this one.
It is El Porco. Really? This is going to define who wins.
El Porco.
Unporn that name.
El Porco.
El Porco.
Georgia O'Keefe.
It's El Greco. Yes.
It is El Greco.
Who is one of my favorites.
Like Greco-Roman? Is that actually where that comes from?
They called him the Greek.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Famous,
yeah, I didn't know that.
Famous artist of such well-known works as self,
I'd hope
self-portrait.
Naked
and,
I'd hope Naked Men.
He did a lot of religious sculpture.
I think Domenico's
paintings.
Domenico's Theotokopoulos.
Yeah. He was from Greece.
The Spanish Renaissance, his whole thing. Oh. Joe, where are you on the Spanish
I'm thinking Greco-Roman. I'm not thinking like...
So the real winner here is... Fine Arts, because we have rescued so many people from Unporn That Name. Now, when we come back, it is 3 for the road. I know you've been waiting around to see where our minds are going to go after the gutter and the Fine Art Gallery. So don't go too far. We'll wrap things up really quick. You shall see. Be right back.
Hi, this is Dave. From the Whip Around. You know what I love? A hot, steaming cup of coffee. But you know what I love more? Stars. So be sure to go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review so more people can find the Whip Around. Thanks again.
Art, art, art and the Whip Around. Art and the Whip Around. Ready for Act 3 is Art and the Whip Around. Ward, you're going to play Art.
Okay.
I'm going to play Around, and Jill, you're the whip, okay?
Word.
What we're here to do is 3 for the road, that part of the show, a part of every show. Wow, it feels so like a legacy here, where we talk about whatever it is that is on our minds that didn't fit with the theme of the show or that we just didn't have time to talk about. And wow, there were so many things we didn't have time to talk about in this last time that you never know what's going to come up in this particular episode of 3 for the road. So anyway, what we're going to do is each person gets 30 seconds to talk about one of those things. We all have 3 of them. And after 30 seconds, they're going to hear something that sounds a lot like this. Thank you, Desi. Signifying that it is time for the next person to go. So you got to shut up. And then we move to the next person and they have to shut up. And we go round and round until everyone has done their 3 and that's it. That's the show. That's all. And then I don't know what happens next. For any of us. Who can ever tell? You've got me in this very deep introspective thing,
good.
Ward. Who knows?
It's probably my beard.
Piss Christ Beards.
Oh my God.
Performance art.
Gross.
Ready? Are we all ready?
Yeah. Play.
Go. I would like to start this whole thing off by just saying that I feel like I brought this up before. I'm angry at the sexism in the children's departments at Amazon.com. I'm angry because these people have decided that if it's dragonflies, if it's pink, if it's butterflies, if it is pastels, it's for girls. If it's anything else, dinosaurs, space, information, understanding, science, whatever, it's for boys. Anything for girls, pink, pastel, weak, wimpy, and boys over here is whatever. Look, I get it. I can go to the boys' department and sharp for my little girl, but if you don't change that shit, you'll never stop the stereotypes, you bitch.
I'm so over contrarians. I hate people who are like, uh-oh. I don't hate people. I should rephrase that. But I really am just annoyed by people who are like, I don't like it just because I don't like it. And everybody else seems to like it. So I don't like it just because I want to be difficult. It's like the same people who are still like, yeah, Nickelback sucks. Like, get over it. People like that band. You need to just stop. Have your own opinions and let other people have their own. It just irritates me.
This rant brought to you by Nickelback.com.
If you're an artist attending a gallery opening, don't show the curator pictures of your own art from your phone. It's somebody else's opening. It's not about you. Let them have their time. If you're showing me, the curator, your art, I am not able to sell the person who's exhibiting their art's art. Make an appointment. Don't show me your art on your phone at an opening reception.
Everybody out. I've just seen something in this guy's phone. Okay, I would like to just call for, it's a call for inaction, a call for inaction on social media. Studies and your own personal experience, everybody, show you social media is bad for you. We need to dial it back. Give yourself rules on social media, limits, times during the day where it's allowed and times where it's not. Trolls and thought bubbles and harassment and dogpiling, none of it is healthy. We just need to stop, at least stop debating hot button issues with other angry people at a certain hour of the day. Something gets you nowhere. Turn off, tune out, fuck that.
Kind of piggybacking off of that, I saw a lot this past weekend of friends of mine who are comedians, and they were somehow trying to make a joke out of the March for Our Lives, like, and other people were commenting on it, like, oh, yeah, well, if you're an actor, you're going to talk about gun reform, but then you're going to do a big action movie, and it's like, dude, one of those is fake. One of those doesn't exist, and if you can't tell the difference between an action movie and, like, actual violence in real life, then you got problems, and they don't necessarily feed off of one another. It just, it irritates me.
People, it's okay not to like a particular piece of art. Don't be intimidated. Own it. Feel free to tell people why you don't like it. It's okay not to like everything. And artists, people don't need to like everything that you make. It's okay if they don't. There are objecting views in this world, and we can accept it and move on and be happy and share our stuff. Boom.
No, you gotta like my episode. Every episode of the Whip Around, you gotta like it. Okay, March Madness and top tier college sports in general here under my skin. I think it's time we either pay these college athletes and stop throwing them into the gutter whenever they make a dime so they can eat that night by selling a shirt, right? Or if you're not comfortable with treating them, you know, unlike slaves in jerseys, maybe we could create a whole new school system that's like sports academies where there's less academic pressure, more money for them and whatever. And we stop acting like, oh, they're such scholars. Let's let them be human beings. Let's just stop picking like assholes and fix this weird system of college bullshit.
Okay, so I just read an article today that apparently the University of Tokyo, there's an astronomer who has this idea that basically rich people will be able to kind of create their own shooting star show in the night sky, and that they're going to try and do this fake meteor shower like over Hiroshima, Japan. Hasn't that atmosphere just been like wrecked enough over the years? I just feel like you could use a better place, but it's going to be pretty, but you got to be rich to pay for it.
I get annoyed when people say to creative people, artists of various types, you're so lucky, you're so talented.
Ugh.
Yes, talent is a factor, and I appreciate the compliment, but artists, musicians, writers, etc. put intense work and years of practice into developing their craft. Respect the process, respect the craft. Don't just, like, dumb it all down to luck. We work very hard to be good at this.
And then buy our shit.
Yeah, that would help too. We can make more if you buy some.
So buy it.
Buy it.
Us.
Buy it.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to keep ringing the bell for a while. That was a lot of fun. It was not our shortest episode, but I don't know, man. This was one of our densest, packed with information and perspective.
That's what you get when you bring the beard in.
This was definitely one of the beardiest episodes that's possible on this show. We want to thank Ward from the Bethlehem House Contemporary Art Gallery.
Yeah.
Yes.
I did it. For coming and visiting us the first time. We invite you back. You've already accepted. Yeah. So thank you for that.
Wonderful. I'm looking forward to it. It was my pleasure today, guys. This is really great. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Happy to be here.
Check out the gallery.
Yeah.
It really is awesome.
Regardless. So the current show closes soon.
April 7th.
Okay. And then another one goes up.
April 21st. So it's 2-week changeover. We completely redo the whole thing in 2 weeks.
All right. So, I mean, if you're really on the stick, you could get in there right now within the next couple days. Check out the gallery before it closes on the 7th, you said. Mm-hmm. And then, hey, wait 2 weeks. You could see a brand new show. Or if you're a little bit slower off the mark, just wait a couple weeks. And when is it open?
The opening is April 20th. I said the wrong date. It's April
420. That's,
that's
a thing, isn't
I
it?
Know.
Is that still
I
a
think
thing?
That's still. Listen,
yeah, I don't think I planned that.
At this point, I think it's every day.
It's 420.
Yeah.
Isn't that somebody's birthday,
so
too?
April 20th is the show opening. If I said it wrong earlier in the show, you know, fix that.
Yes, the magic of editing will fix that. Anyhow, check out the Bethlehem House
Contemporary
Art Gallery. I was going to call it the Bethlehem House.
Call it the Bethlehem House Gallery. That's, okay. You know, you're close. You're family.
Check
you're
it out.
You'll find them.
Don't forget, you can wind back in the episode. Go back and find out, you know, those trivia questions again from Ward and send us the answers to thewhiparound@gmail.com or
can
Facebook
I real quick just say our website?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Okay. BethlehemHouseGallery.com, www.BethlehemHouseGallery.com.
Complicated.
We are Bethlehem House Gallery on Facebook, and we are B House Gallery on Instagram.
Ooh.
B House. The B House.
I mean, the letter B, not like Z.
Letter B as in boy, house. So again, thank you to Ward. Check out those questions and send in some answers and win some stuff. If you've got some fun unporn that name challenges, send that on in. Go ahead. No illustrations with that, please. But just go ahead and send that in. We will see you next week. We've got plenty more exciting stuff. I can tell you this, before Ward comes back, actually, not next week, but the following one, Phil is going to be joining us again after many weeks for a little drop by.
That's exciting.
He's going to be in studio again, and then he'll be out again until the summer.
Break
to
fast.
Come at, that's right. He's breaking the whip fast to come and play with us. Not next week, but the one after that. Although, don't skip next week, because that's going to knock your socks off too, damn it. So thank you for listening. Remember to reach out to us on all our various social media fronts. Ward Van Hout, Jilly Apsuga, and SH, because I'm abbreviating that shit. I brought it all back around!
Word.
AJ.
AJ. We love you. Bye!
Bye!
Bye.
Snatch NATO.
Episode title. No, but I... Which it will not be. Don't worry, Ward.